From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Acts chapter 9, we'll read one verse, verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. When we look at Acts chapter 9, many of you know the context. The church was suffering some pretty severe persecution. Saul was the one that was behind that. Verse 1 says, Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter. Well, that's not good. I thank God for the freedom that we enjoy, and although we do live in troubled times, it's not nearly what the church was facing, the early church was facing during these very dangerous days. But we understand the times we're living in, and Christians, I'm convinced that God in His sovereignty and God in His foreknowledge knew what every generation would face. And the Holy Ghost was the answer to all of that. And if we believe this book, we have to believe that God prepared the right person for the right moment. That person is the Holy Ghost that indwells every single believer. Go with me to John chapter 14, very familiar text. We know that there in Acts 9, that on the road to Damascus, that Saul got born again, his life was changed, and that persecution waned. But that doesn't mean that comfort came upon all of the church simply because the persecution waned. I know a lot of times we feel like that's what's going to comfort us. If God would drastically change our situation, solve our problem, heal our body, eliminate that person that's causing such distress in our life, or eliminate the financial distress, or whatever it is, we truly believe that comfort is the result of God performing a miracle on our behalf according to our desires and wishes. And that's not the type of comfort that God's talking about here in Acts 9. He's talking about the presence of the Holy Ghost bringing the Christian special comfort. And I hope that's what you understand tonight. John chapter 14, look what it says in verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. Now, sometimes we mark in our Bibles, and I'm sure a lot of people mark the word comforter, but really the word that should be marked here is another. Because Christ is saying, the way that my presence has comforted you, when I'm gone, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to have someone replace me that will do exactly what I've done for you. And I think we talk about the Lord and His ministry and the disciples and how privileged they were. And we think about what they saw. And boy, it would have been a privilege to be one of His disciples, to be around the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. And Christ said, wait a minute. The promise is my replacement is not inferior. There'll be another comforter equal to me. Matter of fact, better, and we'll explain why. He shall give you another comforter. He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. I like that. That's one of the reasons He's our comforter. Whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you, and I will not leave you comfortless. Praise the Lord for that promise, the fulfillment of that promise. John chapter 16, look what it says in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Now, once again, we ask the question, why would Christ have to say this? He was the truth. John 14, 6, He just got done telling them, I'm the way, I am the truth. We know that everything He says, the disciples know that everything that came out of His mouth was truth. So if someone was the living truth, why would He have to look out and say these words? Okay, I just finished preaching to you, but right now what I'm saying to you, it's truth. Isn't there some irony there in that statement, in that phrase? You know why He said that? Because this is one of those truths that we can't wrap our minds around. He said, I'm telling you the truth. It's expedient for you. He's saying it's better for you that I leave. This is why they can't understand. How in the world can it be expedient for us that you depart, that you leave us? He says, for if I go not away, the comforter will not come to you. But he said, my replacement is better than me. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, how is it that the comforter, the Holy Spirit, is a better replacement? I guarantee you this. If we heard tomorrow that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come to Jerusalem and spend a week in the city, you couldn't find an extra ticket because all of us would be online the moment we heard the news. We'd be buying, I don't care what the purchase price was, we'd be buying the ticket. We'd be finding a way, you know what, you found a hotel, there's going to be 16 of us staying in the same place. Better take your sleeping bag. We'd make sure that we were going to be there. And despite the crowds, here's what we would know in our minds. We'd have to fight. We probably know that we wouldn't be able to spend a single moment alone with him. But just to get in his presence, just to be around him, just... And during the time of his ministry, he was constantly being flocked by the crowds and those that wanted a miracle to be performed, and those that wanted to see or spend a moment with him, or those that needed something from him. But guess what? We don't have to spend that money. We don't have to fly. When you go home tonight, and I go home tonight, and we'll have people go to Hutto, Oak Hill, Bastrop, New Braunfels, and the Holy Spirit is going with every single one. Doesn't that seem to you that that's better? And we're not talking about his departure. We're not talking about at moments we lose sight of him. We're not talking about the disciples being separated at some point. In the case of the Holy Spirit, he's ever present. Here's the comfort. The comfort is knowing we have his indwelling presence that's permanent. That's a comfort. So when everyone else is gone, and let's just be honest for a moment. Ladies, you know why you married that man? You had in your mind that he was going to be your comforter. And you found out that that blanket was a better comforter. And then, ladies, you remember the first time you were going to have a heart-to-heart talk, and then you just saw this blank stare, and you like, are you listening to me? I don't think that I'm seeing compassion here. What did you want to ask? Or maybe you did ask. Do you care about what I'm trying to tell you? So you weren't grasping the comfort, right? But guess what? The Holy Spirit is there. And he never gets a blank stare. And he does understand. And he's ever present. And ladies, you have a problem because back when that curse fell upon man because of sin, and remember, it was the woman that was deceived. So before you want to point at the man and say, you messed this up, it was the woman that ate of the fruit. Whatever it was, she's the one that ate. So God said to the man that you're going to work by the sweat of your brow. You're going to have to deal with work. So God put it in the heart of man to work. And then the curse for the woman was what? Not just sorrow and... That's the one that's always mentioned, sorrow and childbearing. But what was the curse? Your desire will be towards your husband. So you marry that guy and you love that guy and you want to spend time with that guy and you'd like for him to replace the Holy Spirit. That's not why God put him in your life. Now, he should be a comfort. Guys, we've got to do a lot better job than we normally do. That's why we have a couples retreat to help teach the man to be a better comforter. But the bottom line is there's no way he can replace the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the comforter. And well, you know, I was in the hospital and the pastor came up and I thought he would say the right thing and bring the right gift and show up at the right time. And he showed up at the wrong time with the wrong words and nary a gift. He's not much of a comforter. But guess what? All of us try. How many ever went out of your way to be a comfort to someone and then you realize you just failed miserably? We're doing our best. I think we all try. And I've had some people at moments, I've been up to the ER at Dell before, and suddenly out of nowhere appears Sarah Grover. Not because she listened to the Holy Spirit and she drove up there. She works there. She happened to be on site. But you know the good thing about Sarah Grover? She has a personality to be a comfort in those situations. And she has ability because she knows something about nursing and she's connected and she knows where to go and who to speak to and how to make it happen. So her presence is a comfort. I didn't finish. Hold on. I just took a breath. I need to finish. Her presence is a comfort. Occasionally, if she's there. But the question is she going to be there? Maybe it wasn't her night to work. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit, you never have to ask, is he going to be there? It doesn't matter if it's a missionary in Mexico or if they're in Japan or South Korea or what part of the world they're at, what the conditions are in that country, what's going on around the world. We know they have a comforter because sometimes they don't have a connection and sometimes the internet's not working and sometimes despite all the modern technology, there's not communication between that. I just need to talk to that one person and the Holy Spirit saying, I got this covered. And his indwelling presence. So when it says they're walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, this is the first generation that could say that because previously, before the book of Acts, what do we know about those that were believers? They didn't have the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And they didn't have the Bible. Boy, they had a lot of disadvantages. So when they had a down moment, it was really a down moment. We don't have many excuses in this generation. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. He's telling us the truth. And Christian, if you've never understood that comfort, it's because it's there and it's available and God wants to comfort you. Here's another reason why I believe the Holy Spirit is a great comfort. Because of the immediate product of the Spirit. Now think about this for a moment. Go back in your mind, pre-salvation. Not those of you that were raised in church. You were raised in a suit and tie, taught to be a Christian since you were a little Johnny. But those of you that had a little bit of a different experience, you have a little bit of a background. You have a testimony that you can't tell. When someone says, tell me your testimony, you're like, no, it's not rated PG. I wish I could. Be brave. I lived a bad life, and God saved me from that bad life. And I thank God for his grace. Right? Aren't you glad that you don't have to tell your whole testimony? Aren't you glad that no one on the planet besides God knows your testimony? But suddenly, okay, those tastes and desires and the lack of spiritual desires and the lack of interest in the Word of God and the lack of desire to ever go to church, all those things, suddenly you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, and the Holy Spirit moves in. And Sunday morning, you're like, well, I need to be in church. Where'd that come from? Isn't it a comfort to know that there's a Holy Spirit that immediately produces new fruit? It's supernatural fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, you know the verse, Galatians 5:22. You know it. Don't even have to quote it. What is that fruit? Love? Aren't you glad those people that you were not interested in, suddenly you love? It's not that you even have much in common outside the Lord Jesus Christ, but for some reason you love them. And you can go anywhere in the world and walk into a church and suddenly be connected with someone and call them brother and mean it. And you go to a family reunion and feel awkward. Someone introduced, I'm your second cousin's grandmother's nephew. Like, that's good. Right? And then you go to a country, not even the same nationality, not even the same language, and you're having a time and somehow communicating despite the language barrier. You know what that is? That's a fruit of the Spirit. And you had no interest in that book, and suddenly you can't get enough of that book. And you're reading things you don't even understand. And you're happy about it, and you're enjoying it. And you're listening to this guy preaching, that guy preaching, pastor has this guy come to town, and you don't even like the guy, but you like the fact that he's preaching the Word of God. You know what that is? That's a fruit of the Spirit. And there's just comfort in the fact that he's put some kind of love inside of you and you can't explain it. And you can even be mad at that person and dislike that person, but for some reason you still love that person. Explain that. And everything about the fruit that's produced by the Holy Spirit is a comfort. Love, joy. I shouldn't be joyous. My circumstances certainly are not providing anything to make me happy, but I'm still joyous. You know what that is? That's fruit of the Spirit. If you think about that package deal, have you just gone through it, patience? Doesn't that bring comfort that for some reason you know you're an impatient person, but there are times the Holy Spirit just provides you patience. And you, that's not in me. How did that just happen? The Holy Spirit said, I got your back. There's just comfort in knowing that if you tried to produce that, you know it'd be as plastic as the fruit in the basket on the table. But you know there's a real Holy Spirit that moved in, and he's beginning to produce something in you, meekness. And you know that's not natural to your character. That peace, that calm in the midst of the storm. How many of you ever had someone that doesn't know God, doesn't know Christ, doesn't know the Bible, doesn't know anything about salvation, and they saw you going through something that should have created turmoil in your spirit, and they saw peace, and they mentioned that. You seem pretty calm despite the circumstances. And then it dawned on you, I do seem pretty calm despite the circumstances. And you went to go pat yourself on the back, and the Holy Spirit said, hey, that's not you, that's me. The walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit is the fact that he indwells us, and he's producing fruit that's supernatural. And we go through life saying, if I'm walking in the Spirit, I have great advantages because he is going to produce fruit that's called love and joy and peace and meekness and even temperance. Now, that's not a Baptist fruit. Right around Thanksgiving and Christmas is not a good time to be preaching on temperance. But the Holy Spirit wants to produce these things. We're comforted by the impacting power of the Holy Spirit. So you got saved and you begin to listen to what you're supposed to do, and you heard about this whole thing of witnessing. You said, I can't do that. Then the church needed some help and a teacher, and maybe God called you to preach. Those of you that are called to preach, you remember that? Pastor Bob remembers when I was called to preach. I was not a powerhouse. Still not a powerhouse, but back then I was a pipsqueak. I didn't want to get in front of people and preach. Now, here's the blessing. Acts 1:8, here comes the Holy Spirit. So those previous to this, did not have the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but soon they are going to have that. And what's Acts 8 say? What's the promise? God puts it right on the table, right up front. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I remember as a young man going to the conferences and going to these meetings, and I remember whether that was Houston or Dallas or Fort Worth or San Antonio, and I remember hearing these men, Tom Malone and Lee Robertson and Jack Kiles and all of them. I've heard Fresh Oil, and I heard J. Harold Smith preach that famous in person, God's Three Deadlines. I was there. I heard Bill Pennell preach the Rod of God, and literally the place shook with the power of God. The people in the mezzanine, the people in the balcony, they couldn't even move forward because every spare free place in that auditorium was filled with someone on their face before God. We sat in that auditorium, South Sheridan, in Denver, Colorado, when Ron Riley preached, and scores and scores of teens walked forward and got born again. And you watch the power of God. Now, here's a blessing. When you look at these men, you think there's something supernatural about that man. And then you read your Bible and understand, no, we have the same power source. If I had never realized that, there's no way I would have ever wanted to preach, because I would have said, as a young man, I've already seen the power of God, and I've already seen those that have great oratory skills and those that really have learned to present a message. And who in the world am I to think that I could ever get behind a pulpit and be used? But when you understand our comfort in serving comes from the fact that there is a God in heaven that says, I'm going to empower you to do exactly what you're supposed to do. Not about you. This isn't about your ability. This isn't about your talent. This is about me empowering you. So when we have the command, whether that's witnessing, and right here in Acts 1:8, speaking of the power, what's it for? You shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be what? That's power to witness. So everyone here that's sitting back in doubt and saying, I don't have the personality, I don't have the skill, I don't have the ability. I'm very timid. I don't think I can do that. God's taken away your excuse because he said, after that. So you're not pre-Acts 2, you're post. So if anyone ever asks you, you pre or post? You need to say post. You have the Holy Ghost. And that means you're without excuse because we can walk in the comfort of knowing we have a Holy Ghost that empowers us to do exactly what this book commands us to do. Doesn't that bring you comfort? You ever read those books? D.L. Moody, Spurgeon, Torrey. I'd get those books and Dad bought them all for his kids, those biographies, and we'd read about Pray and Hide and those men of God, Mueller. And you'd get excited and you'd get discouraged. As a kid, you know, then everyone has a mother. Says, oh, God may use you to be a Mueller. The mothers don't think that's funny. You know why you can be discouraged? Because we forget that this isn't about Mueller. This isn't about Torrey. This isn't about Spurgeon. This isn't about Moody. This isn't about a man. This is about a Holy Ghost. In the power of the Holy Ghost moving in the hearts of men, bringing them to salvation, bringing them under conviction, bringing them to God. And we have access to that same power. That is a comfort. I am comforted by the fact that we have an inward push. What are you talking about? The Holy Spirit and guidance that takes place in our life. Amen? Romans 8:14 does say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Aren't you glad that God gave you a spiritual GPS? And we've got the Word of God, and we have the written Word of God. We have it in our language. We have access, and we can read as much as we want. We know there are things that are in black and white. But there are times when we need some guidance for something found outside of the Word of God. It's not like there's a Bible principle to help us make this decision. And that's where you thank God for the Holy Spirit. And as you begin to pray, the Holy Spirit will begin to make that clear. Go with me to Acts 8. Several more passages, very familiar. The Holy Spirit guiding men. And you are part of this dispensation, which means God wants to guide you through the Holy Spirit. Look what it says, Acts 8:29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Let me ask you this. How did the Holy Spirit say that to Philip? This is your dispensation. I mean, did the voice out of heaven.
Hey. You, Philip, Phil. Hey, Phil. Yeah, got something for you.
Do you know that's not the way the Holy Spirit's taught? That's almost the way we look at this text. Like he just comes down in a suit and tie, shakes his hand, and says, I want you to go out there. It's not the way the Holy Spirit, he's never showed up to me with a suit and tie. But you know how the Holy Spirit speaks? If we see him moving the New Testament, don't forget, this is your dispensation. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him like the Holy Spirit speaks to you in a service. Says, hey, what about the way you spoke to him last week? You need to rectify that. Your tone, your spirit, that was hurtful. And you might ought to go correct that. An apology would be in order. Right in the middle of a message, when the pastor speaks and the Holy Spirit, his voice, so soft, but louder than the preacher's. Right? And there was no megaphone. There was nothing over the loudspeaker. This wasn't a message by radio interrupted by the Holy Spirit. He just knew. And he's in the middle of a revival, but he knows he's supposed to go and do something really crazy. Have you ever thought about a man chasing a chariot in the desert? How many of you have ever in your lifetime seen a preacher run? That alone is pretty rare. I tried that Thursday and got hurt doing it. He told him to run. So here you have a man of God obeying the Spirit of God. Look what it says in chapter 10, verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, this is instruction to witness to the house of Cornelius. The Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubt nothing. For I have sent them." That's pretty clear. That's pretty specific. You say, with the Holy Spirit? Yeah, if you get in tune with the Holy Spirit, he really does want to guide you. You're not going to find that in the Word of God. It's just, if you're listening to the Holy Spirit, there are people out there that need witness to, and he wants to take you to them. And he knows that if you don't have his guidance, you're going to waste a lot of time on people that have no interest in the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit saying, I would certainly like for someone to talk to this man right here. And Jeremy and Brother Mark talked to someone like that on Monday night, just waiting to hear the gospel. They walked in, sat down with the Bible, took him through the Word of God, and saw him get born again. 65, 70 years without the gospel. They're still in Austin. The problem is finding them. The Holy Spirit has no problem finding them. We have problems finding them. And the Holy Spirit says, I already found them. So I'm just needing you to listen. Woo-hoo. That's New Testament doctrine. I'm not inventing this. We haven't turned Pentecostal. This is the Holy Spirit taking someone that's willing, like Philip, and willing like they were already winning souls. He said, I'm going to find someone that's winning souls, someone that's desirous of winning souls. You can't sit back and, oh, I hope the Holy Spirit leads me somewhere. He's saying, I just wish you'd get up and do something. But he's willing to guide. Look what it says in chapter 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, now once again, how did the Holy Ghost say this? Over the speaker system of their brand new auditorium there in Jerusalem, or excuse me, Antioch, right there in Antioch, loudspeaker. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work. No, he was speaking individually to that church, the men of the church, the leaders of the church, they all knew. The Holy Spirit's trying to separate these two men for a different work and send them to foreign lands. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the guidance. This is that inward push. We know he's doing something. We know he's leading. We know, but usually we're not listening because our inward push is Baskin Robbins. Our inward push is Starbucks coffee. And the Holy Spirit said, I'd sure like to get you past that and listening to me and going to the right place at the right time. Chapter 16, verse 6. Now, speaking of Paul and Silas on their missionary journey, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, that sounds strange. Paul's wanted to head down to Ephesus, and the Holy Spirit said, no, I don't want you to do that. And after they had come to Mysia, they said to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So what happens? Verse 9. Paul has a vision in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, prayed him saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he'd seen the vision immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia. And we know the rest of the story ends up there in Philippi. Be careful, because this is the part about the Holy Spirit we don't like. A lot of times we got something in our heart, and I want to do this, and it's spiritual, and I think God wants me to do this, and I think God wants me this ministry, and I think God wants me to take this step. And the Holy Spirit says, not right now. Now, does that mean he was never going to preach the gospel in Ephesus? Oh, he was going there, just not the moment. The Holy Spirit said, that's another journey for another moment, another time. That's a ministry for another moment. Right now, the answer to that is no. That's what we don't like to hear, because we got everything figured out and lined up, ready to go. And we're telling God how this is going to work out, how this is going to shake down, and I'm ready to move. And I hope everyone understands what I'm about ready to do. This of God. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Now, I'm not talking about this spooky revelation, this false doctrine, this Pentecostal philosophy. I'm talking about a Bible, a book, surrendered Christians, Holy Spirit-filled Christians that are saying, God, I just want to do the right thing, and I want to do it the right time, and I want to do it the right way, whether that's in my home or in my family, in my marriage, my job, in the ministry. I just want you to be pleased with the timing of this and the direction of this. And Paul had good intentions. I think I'm going to Ephesus. It's a prime city. And it was a prime city. But the Holy Spirit said, not right now. I want you to go to Philippi. And there's Paul late in the night, getting sleep. He's having visions. And suddenly in the midst of that, he hears a man stand up and say, come over and help us. And he goes to Philippi. What's he find? Not a man. Finds a woman, Lydia, down at the river. Finds a little demon-possessed girl. That's how most mission churches start, with a woman and a little demon-possessed child. That is missions in a nutshell right there. I know, because I've started a few churches. And voice of experience. But if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, how many of you say, I find comfort in the fact that the Holy Spirit wants to guide me? I find comfort in the fact that if I'm surrendered to him, occasionally I'll have something that I consider to be a good desire, but he wants to change that because it's not the right time. Maybe it's not exactly the right way. It's not the right method. It's not the right tactic. And he's going to help me out. I find great comfort in that. Now go with me to Romans 15, and we'll finish. The tools that he uses to comfort us are common tools, and we ought to make them a big part of our lives. Romans 15, 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and what? What's it say? Comfort of what? Through the comfort of the scripture, we might have hope. What's the tool that the Holy Spirit uses to comfort us? The Word of God. Now, you would think, especially in these days, we'd make this of utmost priority, and we would be in this book. How many find comfort in the Word of God? Your mind's kind of getting a little crazy, and you turn on your Bible Is app and just listen to a book of the Bible, a couple books of the Bible, 10 or 15 Psalms, and you find comfort. You ever had a night when you couldn't sleep, and you just open up the book and found comfort? The Holy Spirit uses this book to provide us comfort. Have you ever said, God, I wish you'd just show me something in your word. I just need guidance. I just need help today. I just need, and there it was. He's not going to use the newspaper to provide you comfort. Go back with me to Acts chapter 9. He uses the word of God. And yes, he does use the people of God. Acts 9:27. But who? Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, declaring to them how he had seen the Lord in the way. The Holy Spirit used Barnabas to comfort the church because they didn't even accept the fact that Paul had gotten saved. And Barnabas had been a source of comfort all the way back in chapter 3. You remember he was called the son of consolation, and he was one of the first ones who went out and sold his house and gave that money to be distributed to help the poor. He was a comfort to all those people that were hurting financially. You remember that big fuss, Acts 15? Go there for just a minute. Verse 36. Paul also and Barnabas, they continued in Antioch, and they're teaching, they're preaching. And some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, verse 36, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord. See how they do. Barnabas, he was determined to take with them John. You remember John, John Mark. Yeah, he'd gone with them on the first trip, jumped ship, bailed, gone home. Paul, he's a little bit hyper fella, not a whole lot of patience. So Paul thought not good. Ladies, how many of you ever talked to your husband, you had a great idea, and he thought not good of your idea? Yeah, you ever been there? Paul thought not good to take John Mark with him, and the fight got so tense, the contention, verse 39, was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark, and he sailed to Cyprus. You know why? Barnabas was just this guy that had to comfort everyone. And there's Mark, you know, he's gone home. Now he's made things right. He wants to get up. He wants to still wants to do mission work. And Paul's like, not with me. It's not happening. We've already gone through that once. I don't want to relive that story. If you're a mama's boy, go be a mama's boy. And Barnabas was like, that's no way to talk to the kid. Come on, he loves Jesus. Aren't you glad that there are a few people left in this world that still know how to comfort, and the Holy Spirit used those people? And it's never who we expected. How many ever, you've been to a hospital, you've been somewhere, and you expected a certain person to be there, and then they talked about overtime and responsibilities, and anyways, they never showed up. But that unexpected person, the Holy Spirit used them. Holy Spirit used the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit uses people of God. You got to try to be a comfort to someone. Occasionally, go way out of the box. You know, we have modern technology. It's not that tough. Now you don't even have to show up at their door. You just send a text. Edible arrangements. Now you just make a phone call. $19.99. You can be a comfort to someone. Send them some cantaloupe. I've never quite understood that. It's not much of a comfort to me, but hey, if it looks like a flower, I guess it is for someone. Acts 2, and we are finished. The Holy Spirit uses the church of God to be a comfort. Look what it says in verse 46. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness, singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. They're having a good time. They're comforted. I've seen a lot of people that were going through life miserable, frustrated, upset. You know what? If you'd get in God's house, you'd get in God's book, and you'd get in tune with the Holy Spirit, you'd be surprised what kind of comfort He'll bring in the midst of problems and chaos and poor health. And as a child of God, you got to find comfort in this place. You got to find comfort in each other. You ought to find comfort in this book. You ought to walk in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, because that's why He was given to you. God said His name shall be the Comforter.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, and the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.